Title: Meat and Potatoes, a study of faith. And we've been talking about the new life in Christ. What that means. What does it mean to have a new life? We studied Romans ago. We talked about how Paul said that we've been set free from the power of sin in our lives. And when we came to faith in Christ and we were baptized in Him, not a baptism necessarily, a water baptism, although that's a picture of what really happens on the inside, but a spiritual baptism when we were redeemed, when we were rescued by Christ and transferred to Him, and we were buried in baptism, we came to faith and died. When we died to sin. Because if you're married to sin, the only way that you can be saved. We died with Christ. And through our death, we're set free from sin. But then, pictured in baptism, the person under the water doesn't stay there. They're raised up again to walk in the newness of life. They never stay there. Die with Him vicariously, with Him. And then we're raised also with Him. New life. So the Christian life is a new life. Not the old life. Not the life you started out living when you were 1 and a half, and you were having your diapers changed. You were going through those kinds of experiences. It wasn't that life, but as you grew up and became older, that was still just a normal life. When we came to faith in Christ, everything was changed. And we received a new life. Tonight we're going to talk about what it looks like for that new life. The next point, have you ever had anything to put together that you didn't have instructions? Anybody? Yes? You figure it out? Eventually. You might have put it together. Some people get it wrong. Some people get it completely wrong, or they build it backwards. Or have you ever tried to play a game that you didn't have the instructions? Heather? Huh? It came with pictures? You look at the pictures. Well, on the internet, we can always find instructions. Heather? The game of life? Without the phone telling you how. Yes. Well, if you play certain games, anybody ever played Risk? Love Risk. Risk is a great game, man. Oh, yeah, it's super complicated. And it takes forever. Riley and Haley and I have had, like, weekend-long Risk games, like 3 days. That you just take a picture of the board, go away, come back, make sure everybody's still in their place, and go again. It is the world, the game of world domination. Yes, that is awesome. Risk is a great game, but you better have rules. You better know the rules you're going to play Risk. It's a little bit complicated. So, those kinds of games, you got to have instructions. Can't just start out and say, hey, I'm going to do this thing without instructions. The same thing is true of the new life in Christ. We can say that we have new life, but if we don't know, if we don't have the how-to, if we don't know how to live it, then we're never going to pull it off. We've got to move to the next level of how do I live the new life in Christ. There are lots of people that are trying to live the Christian life, and they're just like, they don't understand. Today, tonight, we're going to study how to live the Christian life. Do it out of Galatians chapter 5. Your Bibles. Galatians chapter 5. If you don't have your Bible, we can remedy that. Bibles for these gentlemen on the front row. All right. Put your phones away. I always encourage you guys, open a Bible. Okay, not your phone. So put your phone away. If you have your phone out, you'll be fine. Nothing's going to happen in the next 30-ish minutes that you'll miss. It'll be that significant. Pull out your Bible and let's look. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Mr. Carl, Mr. Shane. Okay, so our study tonight goes like this. The life by the Spirit. How do we live the new life in Christ? Well, the key to that, key answer to that is the first part of the question, the life by the Spirit, which is what we're going to study. And this is our theological principle. The new life in Christ is lived by means of the Holy Spirit who indwells all believers. Indwells all believers. We have to record our message. Do over there a little bit. Jasmine's new. Alright. So the life by the Spirit. Here's how it goes. The new life in Christ is lived by means of the Holy Spirit. Now, that statement, by means of, is the key phrase. By means of. And we're going to unpack what that part means tonight as we study. Who indwells all believers. When you came to faith in Jesus Christ, at that moment of faith, not later, Jeffrey and guys, not later, but at that moment, you dwelt by the Holy Spirit. It means He came at that moment to live inside of you. The Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people for a purpose. He would be with you. But in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, He no longer is with us. He is with us. It's a very different ministry. We have the person of God, the Son, dwelling inside of us. Now, if you have never... And I want to tell you to start with... that decision, you can make it... You talk to one of us. So life by the Spirit, let's talk about... We're in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to start out like this. We live the new life in Christ by depending on the Holy Spirit, not the flesh. We live the new life in Christ by depending on the Holy Spirit, not the flesh. Look what he says in Galatians 5, 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Pause right there. He says, walk by the Spirit. Will not gratify or fulfill or indulge the lust or the desires of the flesh. Now, what is the flesh? Anybody tell me? The old man, who said that? Caleb? The old man? Human body. That's what you would think. Immediately you would think the human flesh, your flesh and blood, your physical body. And it is linked. There's a deeper meaning that ties it to the old man. The flesh is that old nature that still wants to live according to its categories, according to its desires, according to its lusts. It's that person that was born and has learned his whole life how to live for himself. Self-preservation, protect myself, indulge my desires and my appetites and the things I want to have. That is the flesh. Technical term. In Paul's writing in the New Testament, describes that bed of desires and lust and sin. The old guy that still wants to live and according to his desires and his appetites and those things. That's the flesh. So Paul says, I say walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now the flesh is what we battle. So people tell us that we're not supposed to do wrong things, angry or at least not angry and sick. Supposed to lust in our physical flesh, to lust after someone else, that we're not supposed to selfish or self-serving or self-centered. All of those things work that God desires in our lives. Those things come. Those are the choices that we should. So he says, walk by the Spirit and you won't. Here's the strongest. It means you will absolutely. So the key to the whole thing. I'm lay aside that old man. What do you have? Walk by the Spirit. You want desire? Indulge those things. Be able to say no. So what we understand, we live the new life in Christ by depending on the Spirit. Let's go back to the phrase walk. But I say walk by the Spirit. Now the phrase there means walk by means. So let's use Coleman here as an example. Alright? So if Coleman and I were out playing football, because I'm all buff and when I was chasing him down and when I broke my leg. Okay? Anyway, I broke my leg. And in order to get off the field, what do I need? Or help me. So if I'm going to walk off the field, can I walk in my own ability? No, I have to walk by Coleman. So now, instead of just walking by myself, I have eternal power in my life. Coleman. And he can, I can walk by means of him. If we're not for him, I can't. So that's what it means to walk by the Spirit. Guys, when you came to faith in Christ, you received a new power that is outside of yourself. Now you have the ability to live the Christian life by means of him. Walk by. He will give you the life to be able to do this. Now, if I were on the field and Coleman was standing there, I'd still have a choice to try to do what? Try to get back on my own, right? Whatever it is, I can do it in my own strength, or I can take advantage of the power in my life available to help. The word walk means to walk around. And it pictures the life as we live it out. As we live days in this life, we're to walk by the Spirit. The means where we have for a long time, Christians continue to try to live the Christian ability. And you know what happens when we do that? It's based on our own effort and ability, and what happens in the end is we ultimately live for God. We walk by the flesh, lots of bad things happen. So, there's a few things I want you to understand about this life in Christ, this life that is lived in dependence on the Holy Spirit. Dependence upon Him, not the flesh. First, the Spirit and the flesh are opposed to one another. What he says in the next verse. He says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to one another. These are opposed to keep you from doing. What are the things you as a Christian who has a new life in Christ, Romans 6, died to the old man and is now alive to live for God's glory, what are the things that Christ? Good. What else? Tell. Spread God's word. What else? Our relationship with Him. What? Involved in the church. What does your sister or brother wish you would do as a Christian? Stop annoying them. Treat them with respect, treat them with kindness, with love. Those are the things that, according to the Word of God, a believer, a person in Christ, wants to do. See, guys, we talked about the fact that we have faith in Christ. You're given that new nature wants to do. Live for God's glory. I want to honor God. I want to be kind. I want to listen to God's word. I want to love the people around me because in my heart, I long to honor God. That is what we want to do. But the flesh has set its mind against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are opposition to each other. Battle. There's a battle going on right now. Because your old man, the flesh, wants you to indulge this. Your old man wants you to go on the internet. Look at things you shouldn't look at. The old man wants you to lust after that girl that walks by you down the hall. The old man wants you to be jealous and envious and harsh to the people around you. The old flesh does. Because we walk according to that is against us. Guys, I want you to know you will have that battle. You have never put your so there's a battle going on. We have the life lived by the flesh produces choice number one. Now, Paul outlines the results of both choices. First choice is to live the life in the flesh. Look what he says. But if you are, let's see. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Now, that word evident means they're clear. We'll come back to that in a second. List some examples of the works of the flesh. Sexual immorality. Now, we get our word pornography from that Greek term porneia. And we also get the word, it ultimately is the word prostitute. The most general term you get for sexual, all different forms, adultery, all those very broad terms. So he says sexual immorality, impurity, sexuality, idolatry, sorcery, envy, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. I don't know what I'll explain in a minute. It's like these. Those are all the different things that characterize the flesh. And it breaks down, really, I think, into four categories. The first one are sexual sins. Sexual morality, impurity. Those are the things that characterize the flesh. Lust. Physical body. Now, second, these are high sins. God, they're religious sins. Idolatry and sorcery. Idolatry is what? Somebody give me the definition. Worshiping something other than God or making it more important or valuable than God. That's idolatry. Look at the next. And sorcery. That is witchcraft. High sin. Now, Lord willing, nobody in here practicing witchcraft. But that is a sin that would be a dishonor to God. It's a high-handed sin. It's directly in the face of God. Enmity, Christ, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, vision, envy. All those are relational sins. Look at the list. Enmity, which is strife or disagreement between strife, arguing, jealousy. Okay, that. Y'all are honest. Jealous, yeah. Jealousy. That's the work of the flesh. Why? Because a jealous person is thinking about what's in it. Look at the rest of it. He says jealousy, fits of anger. Now, he doesn't say anger. Because sometimes we're angry. But it's like Ephesians 4 says, be yet without the point when our anger crosses over. That's an outburst of it. rage and wrath. Anybody ever do this with your brother? Yes. They let it happen. They make me do it. An outburst of anger. That's a part of the flesh. Look what else he says. Rivalries, which is division and envy. All of these things are part of the flesh. Those are cause division. Do you want to know where the girl drama comes in? We were out here playing, we're talking about things. Yeah. Anybody deal with guy drama? Gage is like, all the time. Yes, this is the area where this comes in. All that drama, what's it flowing out of? The flesh. That old dude. And it happens in you, doesn't it? I know. See, y'all want everybody to think. I know what's going on. You see it. There's all kinds of drama going on in here. Try to deal with it when I see it. But I just want to find out what it is. Anyway, but those kinds of things happen, and it's because of the flesh. So if you're participating, oh, to that girl, that guy, this guy, that is the flesh. That all flows out of that old man. All right, let's keep going. Then the last one, drunkenness and orgies and things like this. Now, the word orgies is not a great translation. That's the ESV. The better word is revelry. This is the party word. Party. The guy going there. Y'all seen the people? Seen them in Clemson? I went to Clemson. All up and down. That is that word. Guys, that's the flesh. It flows out of the flesh. Old man. The life lived by the flesh produces these. They are deeds that we do, ways that we act, actions and choices that we operate according to them. But the life lived by the Spirit produces fruit. Let me pause for a second. Let me talk about the flesh. I forgot to mention. It said, the deeds of the flesh are evident. Give me an example of what that means. The word means clear. You recognize. Don't y'all recognize somebody? I had a friend of mine who went on his first date from West Virginia. After he moved here, he went on a date with him. They were driving along back over off 301 past Francis Lee in that area near the paper mill. And y'all, anybody ever smell the paper mill? Well, he's riding around. He's not from here. He's like, started looking at her. Because he's thinking, really? No, I take this. This must be what Southern girls are like. You know? That's what he was thinking. Check this girl out. The deeds of the flesh are evident. Y'all know. Somebody rips a silent one? Don't you? Somebody in the row behind you might have just done one. You're like, y'all know. Stinking up the place. That is the deeds of the flesh. Smelling up the place. It stinks when somebody's in the flesh. Because they are living. All right, listen up. Listen up. They are living for themselves, and we recognize those outbursts of anger, selfishness, division, strife, and arguing, and jealousy, and envy. Disgusting. Life lived by the Spirit produces fruit. I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not be God. He's talking about the flesh. And what he says, he's not saying that you will lose your salvation. What he's saying is, the Christian, the person, they characterize the person who's not, doesn't know Jesus. Characterize that person. Who are going to inherit the kingdom of God, you need to look like. Pick up your Bible, Jared, and you're not. Bible, Galatians. All right. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, control. Why does he use the fruit instead of the word deed? He talked about the deeds of the flesh. They were works. They were actions. They were choices. They were things that... But when he comes... Because the concept of the Spirit, these fruits... They are fruit. Show up in our lives. Produced by who? Bear it. You show it off. Love, joy, peace. I can make it right. Able to say no to the things that you need, yes to the things that you need. But what's cool about all these words is they're a unit. The way the Greek construction is, you either have them all, am I walking by the Spirit? Chosen to depend. Allow him to lead and follow his leading in my life. Can you show up in my life? Love, joy. The moment that I choose to back away from his leadership, and I put the old man back in charge, then what's going to show up in my life? Get up this morning. Selfish or whatever it is, in your spot where you have a choice to react, in that moment you have to choose. Or by the flesh or by the now, your ability to make that choice is your we learn to do. He is the God of the universe. And you know what? He does have enough power to fix this circumstance. This bad choice last Friday. That's the person you know when you Christ has come.
I will have a resource.
Say
supernatural. What he says in verse
4. We live by the Spirit. Let us also keep in it. And the way that phrase is life. If we have life. Let us also keep. Mark's in the band, even though he's got a seat. Feeling encouraged. Alright, so if Mark and I are walking in the band, what do we need? Anyway, we're walking in the band, what do we have to do? Knew that. All right, you ready, Coachy? All right, you ready? Go. Oh. Mark knows how to march. Now, if the band is marching in line and they stay in line, have you ever seen a band march not in line? Bad situation. Oh, about 2 seconds, Kelsey. Thank you, Kelsey. Yeah, things go badly, right? That's what this term means. Keep in step with the Spirit. God is leading you, guys.